Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As part of Governor Kristi Noem's Second Century Initiative, the state Game, Fish, and Parks Department is giving away thousands of free live traps. The goal is to protect the nests of the state bird from predators and to get South Dakotans interested in the outdoors. But how will the program be managed? Is it a political solution to an ecological problem? SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about it on his blog. On the other hand, you can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster, and he joins us today on the phone. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
It's always great to be back. I need to know, did you send in for any of the traps yourself?
I did not send in for the traps. And what? Furthermore, I have a possum in my backyard that I'm actively protecting. And so someone's going to call in and tell me why that's a bad idea, I'm sure. But I live in the city. So to me, it's just kind of adorable to see a possum, you know, running down your street.
Do you get your possum to play dead? And when you come around it?
I haven't yet. He just kind of doops along. So.
Well, that's delightful. They're so good at that.
Urban wildlife, right?
Yeah. But so no trapping for you.
Yeah, there's a ton of things I don't know about trapping. That's a perfect example of how many of us come to it, is that, you know, if it's a problem, you would call someone else to deal with it. And this is not how most South Dakotans deal with possums and other critters that they might want a live trap. So give us a little education on what this program is, and then we'll talk about the effectiveness of it.
Well, it's part of the governor's second century initiative. You know, we're coming into 100 years of pheasant hunting. That's a big deal in South Dakota financially and socially and culturally, and has been for a century. And a big part of the program, thank goodness, is that it involves habitat development and expansion, which is, as I point out in this piece, has been established over the last generations of professional wildlife management to be the key to pheasant and other upland bird production and sustaining those populations, especially on a landscape size scale, not in a local farm area where trapping can have more of an impact.
Right.
But part of that, with Kristi Noem, who was a former preserve operator, and she has family in the hunting preserve business, and part of that, she likes the idea of hitting the predators a little harder during the nesting season. So this trap giveaway is intended to get more people involved in trapping, to target it during the nesting season, to try and remove some of the fox and raccoons and skunks and, possum and some badgers. And target those species, and then it also is blended with a bounty program. Again, something that we just haven't seen much of in South Dakota or elsewhere for a long time. That's kind of old school type of wildlife management, where you can take the tails from these animals and turn them into Game, Fish, and Parks and get $10, which I'm sure the Game, Fish, and Parks guys are just thrilled to be in the middle of managing that thing. But
so the first time I talked to Kelly Hepler about this, Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks, he said, it's controversial. I mean, he put his hands out and said, like, I get that. It's controversial, and here's why we're doing it. What is the controversy? Because it's not necessarily about somebody who thinks possums are cute. There's a controversy about really the program itself, its effectiveness, and how to really manage, you know, the money and where those tails are coming from. Tell us a little bit about the controversy.
Yeah, the controversy involves predators. Taking predators, killing predators is always a controversial part of wildlife management to some people. And it's not considered anymore to be a major component of that in terms of, in our pheasant range. And so there's some controversy there. There's some controversy that you're taking money that sportsmen and sportswomen contribute through hunting and fishing licenses and taxes, national taxes on sporting goods, and you're putting it in an area that maybe many sportsmen and sportswomen would not want it put in. Now, then there's the idea of transparency, and Governor Noem has been big on transparency in her administration, and there was kind of a lack in my mind of transparency in this that kind of happened all of a sudden. And I think most sportsmen and sportswomen would have liked to have some public discussion about that before they decided that they were going to spend that money on this particular cause and set these things up. So it was bound to be controversial. And I think the way it was handled, frankly, adds a little bit to the controversy.
So is it a transparency problem based on you're focusing on the fact that the public input time is not like other? Yeah, because when GFP has meetings, a lot of people show up. I mean, this is definitely something that people provide very active feedback on in South Dakota, and the opportunity for this wasn't really there.
Yeah, they will have public meeting. They'll have a series of public meetings on a what some people might consider a fairly minor change in walleye regulations or something like that across the state. So the fact that suddenly they said, this is what we're going to do, this is the money we're going to spend, this is how we're going to do it, and nobody really had a chance to argue against it or make suggestions, I think has really made quite a few people in the hunting and fishing community in South Dakota unhappy. So I think they created more problems than maybe they needed to have with this by the way they went about it. And they were still going to have problems, but maybe not to the degree they're having them.
Right. So we'll talk about the bounty part of this in a minute, but let's focus on the science or the bioscience, if you will, of is it going to help the pheasant population? I mean, what do we know about the effectiveness of this program in doing what it's supposed to do, which is sort of help the state bird?
Sure, you can look at it and say if there are fewer badgers and fox and skunks and possum out there, then there'll be fewer pheasant nests destroyed and fewer pheasant chicks killed. And sure, that's probably true. And there's some data that Keith Fix, the Game Fish and Parks, presents that shows that, you know, there's been certain studies that indicated that in some areas up to 80% of pheasant and duck nests can be killed by predators. Now, it's wise to remember that those birds will typically re-nest, you know, if they're killed, and sometimes two or three times. It's also wise to remember that if there's a lot of habitat, it's harder for those nests to be located by predators. So it comes back to that issue. And what science has shown over the years is that you can have, with intensive predator control, trapping on a limited area, like a farm, a couple of farms, an island, you know, that you can control access to from animals with fences and things like that, you can really make a difference on that area. But there's never been an indication scientifically that you can take a landscape scale area, like say the eastern two-thirds of South Dakota, which is generally our pheasant range, and by trapping make a significant difference in the pheasant population.
So tell me about this pen-raised birds and the preserves. Tell me how that works. How many people is that part of their business model?
It is. And if you have a preserve, I understand why you trap, partly because you're putting a lot of pen-raised birds out there. And pen-raised birds have gotten a lot better over the years. They aren't as dumb as they used to be. They can fly better than they used to fly. They look a lot better than they used to fly, but they're still pen-raised birds. And they will be more susceptible to predation than wild birds, which are also susceptible, not to the degree. So if you've got, you're putting hundreds, even thousands of pen-raised pheasants out on your property every year, it's just simple common business sense to try and reduce the number of mouths out there that want to eat those things. So, again, on an isolated area, on a specific farm, on a specific operation, you can really make a difference, especially if you're adding pen-raised birds to the equation.
Is that where the criticism of Governor Noem that seems personal is coming from, where people say, you know, she's doing this because it's going to benefit, you know, her own business interests? Is that what people are trying to make a connection there?
You know, I suppose they are. I'm not making the connection.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's fair. I'm asking if that's what they're getting at, yeah.
I think some are. I wouldn't make that connection. I would make the connection. I'm not saying Christy Noem's family operation is going to benefit financially from this, because I don't think it'll make a bit of difference either way for her or them or her family. But I think she comes from a mindset of the preserve operator's mindset, which is predator control is a big deal. And I think the problem is, I don't think you can take that mindset, which is based on small-scale use of very intense, well-managed trapping, and I don't know that we're going to get this, you know, in this. We're going to have a whole bunch of beginners out there trying to trap. I don't think you can take even that very effective predator control process that you might have on a hunting preserve and take it broad scale, landscape-wide scale. It's never been proven that you can do that. It's just too costly and it's too inefficient.
So let's talk about the bounty part of this. And you mentioned, you know, a lot of new trappers out there. And one of the things Kelly Helpler said in our first conversation way back when the session started was, you know, we're going to get new kids into you know, the outdoors with this program as well. And there's benefit to that, too. What about the notion of just, you know, this is a program that encourages people to get into the outdoors, and here is an easy way for them to do it?
I like that notion. I think things that that engage people, that build a constituency for the outdoors and for wildlife and you know, fisheries, I think that's great. I'm not sure that, you know, if I were picking, I would pick other things, you know, the beginner bow hunter classes, different hunting classes, different fishing classes, ecological classes. But then I'm not a trapper, so I don't have that particular passion and that particular love. But the idea that we're going to engage more people, particularly young people, and get them away from the things, the machines in their hands and on the desktops, and get them out in the outdoors, and hopefully come to understand something about biology. Because when you trap, you do understand more about a life cycle, and I think that's good for everybody involved in it.
Right, and some of those people are going to trap, aren't in it for the bounty necessarily. They're just going to figure out, like you said, get outside and learn a new, you know, learn some skills. Let's talk about this idea of sending in a tail for $10.
I'm sorry, I just can't stop laughing.
I will admit, the city girl, when I first had it, I was like, you mean an actual tail? Are we speaking like metaphorically here or a tail?
Oh, no.
No, we're talking about tails.
It's the tail. And, you know, again, that's a management thing that I think Game Fish and Parks are just going to love, especially when they have to, you know, give advice on income tax and 1099 forms and things like that if you reach a certain point of income. The tail is weird, but, you know, that's what you do. And as one of the guys in my blog points out, was we don't know where the tails come from.
Right.
These might be people driving around and stopping at every roadkill they get if it's a targeted animal, cutting the tail off and giving them $10. It may be that they're shooting them. Maybe they're using the traps. Or maybe, you know, anything like that. The other thing they talked about was fraud. I mean, how do you know that some guy that traps just the other side of the line or traps across both lines isn't taking the tails from Nebraska or Iowa? I'm sorry, I'm laughing too much about tails. I shouldn't, but it's just an odd thing.
It's a legitimate question about monitoring the program. If you're releasing the program to do something specific, you know, is there any kind of tracking to see, you know, is the tail, you know, there's a small financial gain for this, but are they tracking, do you know, to see, like, we got so many people from, you know, this region of the state, we got so many kids into the program. Is that data going to be collected at all? Is that part of the process?
Again, good question. I don't think they've answered that exactly how they can monitor it. Another point of all these traps are going to anywhere in the South Dakota that somebody requests one if they got in time. So, a Facebook friend of mine who traps west of Rapid Cities is getting the traps, and he kind of laughingly said, "I don't think I'm going to help the pheasant population in Rapid City very much, but I'm getting the traps, so he's going to get them."
Kevin, this is why I'm worried, because I have a possum.
I
don't want my neighbors to trap my... Is there a reason that I want a possum in my backyard that I'm not aware of? Because, I mean, is he destroying something?
I want your possum now myself.
Yeah.
You should mention that to Hepler, that you don't want your possum to be collateral damage in this.
That's right. Look, what have you done to my backyard wildlife habitat? You know, I feed the birds and, you know, apparently a possum too. But so we don't know yet about really how much is being monitored, and that possibly also would have been part of the public feedback process of this.
I think there's a lot of questions left unanswered. I think they're kind of, I mean, this all came together in a hurry, it seemed to me like. So they're kind of adding some as they can. John Cooper said, is this one of those ready, shoot, aim type things? And in some ways it is.
So let's close with this in our just last minute, Kevin. And that's what some better areas, in your estimation and from the people that you talk to really look at the same problem. Are there better solutions that, you know, what do the scientists say?
Well, when you put habitat on the ground, you set up a basis for pheasants to be successful year after year after year. They're going to have ups, they're going to have downs, but the ups are going to be better, the downs are going to be less if you've got a really sustainable, really diverse, and really well-established habitat base across a landscape, not just a farm here and there. And that's been determined to be the key. That's always going to be the key. This might help a little bit here and there, but it's all about habitat.
All right. Part of an ongoing conversation. SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin, I'm sure this one's going to have a lot of comments and traction. I look forward to following up with you on it.
Yeah. There could be somebody disagrees with me. Who knows?
Imagine that. That's why it's on the other hand, because there's always more than one way to look at these stories. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.